Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to People You Need to Know on Sparkplug Radio. I'm your host, Sparkplug, publisher of Atlanta's People You Need to Know Business Guide, the publication that helps to elevate small business owners to business celebrity status, which generates more opportunities. We enthusiastically provide mega recognition, a new level of excitement, and a stronger personal brand identity in Metro Atlanta and beyond. In today's segment of Sparkplug Radio, we're going to be speaking with Atlanta licensed professional counselor, Ms. Natalie Ellis, with Esteem Counseling and Consulting Services, LLC, about what you need to know about self-esteem. Our very special guest today is a native of Port-au-Prince, Haiti. She is a graduate of the Georgia School of Professional Psychology with a master's in professional counseling. Today, she is the founder of Esteem Counseling and Consulting Services, LLC, a private practice agency providing mental health services, training, workshops, supervision, and consultation to the community, mental health organizations, and other mental professions. We are so honored to have on the phone today a woman who is truly making her mark in Metro Atlanta and beyond, Ms. Natalie Ellis. Welcome back to Sparkplug Radio.
Thank you, Sparks Club. I'm so happy to be here.
All right. How are you doing today?
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much. This is such a great topic, and I'm so happy to give some insight on it.
All right, we appreciate it. You know, before we get started, please tell us the mission of your company, Esteem Counseling and Consulting Services, LLC.
Yes, so I have a private practice where I provide mental health services to the community, individuals, organizations, and other therapists. And the mission of my business is Esteem, and Esteem stands for Empower Self Through Education, Enrichment, and Motivation. And again, the whole purpose is to empower others through enrichment, education, and through motivation in regards to mental health, because mental health is such an important topic. We have our mind with us all the time, and it's important that we take care of our mind, our mental. So that's the mission of my business, to make sure that we're taking care of our mind.
Mm-hmm. All right. So just to be clear, what is self-esteem, and why is it so important?
Well, self-esteem is all about how one sees themselves, confidence in one's own worth and ability, right? And so it's so important in regards to self-esteem, because how you see yourself dictates how you move, how you feel, how you behave, how you do everything, right? And so it's important that we know how we see ourselves, and oftentimes it impacts so many things. It impacts our relationships as well. And so there's high self-esteem and there's low self-esteem, or healthy versus unhealthy self-esteem. So it's an important topic that we talk about, because how we view ourselves dictates a lot of how we then interact with the world around us.
All right. Well, let's get a little deeper into it. Excuse me. How do we develop a healthy or positive self-esteem?
Well, developing a healthy and positive self-esteem obviously begins really, really early on, right? And so before we even know we have ourselves, the world around us is teaching us things as a baby, as a toddler, when we're young, right? And so based on the things that we're hearing from the adults and other people around us, right? If we're hearing positive things, we tend to then develop a positive self-esteem, a positive view of ourselves. In the same breath, if we're hearing something negative, then that tends to be negative. But in regards to the positive, so the first seeds are planted based on what the environment is telling us, right? Based on what we're hearing from the people around us about ourselves. Oh, he's handsome, he's intelligent, he's smart, he could achieve all things, you know, all those great things that we often hear. He's a go-getter. So those things, when we're hearing it, we start to believe it, right? When we start to believe it, we start to act on it. And then as we start to recognize that we have our own sense of self, we then start to tell ourselves these things, because that self-talk becomes really, really important based, again, on what's already planted. And so then part of developing those things come in the things that we do. So when the more we're doing things in regards to sports or in regards to achievements, whatever it is that we love doing, and then we're finding ourselves achieving in those things, then that also helps develop our esteem, how we see ourselves. Because the more we're doing things that we feel proud of, that we're accomplishing our goals, the more then our self-esteem is also being developed in a positive manner. So those are things that we can do to develop our self-esteem. Definitely in being involved in things, interacting with people. And the more we're doing these things, we get more confident in it. And as we're getting confident in the things that we're doing, our self-esteem is also being built. Okay? And so those are some things that we can do. And that begins very early on, obviously. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, how does self-esteem impact your relationship with self?
Well, again, right, so that self-esteem becomes also about that self-talk that we have, right? So when we're trying to accomplish something, the belief that, you know, I can do this. I can do this. I've done this before. If I fall down, I could get back up. So that talk that we're having with ourselves dictates a lot of things. And so when we have a positive self-esteem, a positive way of how we see ourselves, how we see our worth, and how we see our value based on our experiences, based on what others have told us, then we're able to accomplish more. We're able to do more because we trust ourselves. We have confidence in ourselves. We feel our worth. We feel elevated. And so that talk that we're saying ourselves dictates a lot because, again, if we can be confident in how we view ourselves, then that also then manifests in how we, again, relate to others.
So how does self-esteem impact your relationship with others?
Well, again, you know, the first relationships that we tend to have is what is our relationships with our parents, right, our caretakers, right? Because when we're born, we're totally dependent on the people around us to care for us, good, bad, or indifferent. And then at some point, they've planted those seeds, they've nurtured us, given us the things that we needed. And then at some point, again, once we start recognizing that there are some things that our own self, we then begin to have, again, that talk that we have with ourselves. And so the talk we have with ourselves and also the interaction that we've had with our caretakers and the people around us impacts, again, our relationships. And so if our relationship with ourselves is negative, if the relationships we've had with our caretakers have been negative or positive, then that's also what we tend to relate into all of our relationships. And so self-esteem, again, is about our worth, our own worth, and how we view ourselves and how we view our worth. For example, I have a client who has a very difficult time even looking at himself. And this is a lot of clients, but I'm using him as a particular example because his self-worth, his self-esteem was poor from very young. He was born with an arm defect, which in his mind, he didn't feel worthy as a result of that. And some of the messages that he got from his environment made him feel that way as well, as if he wasn't good enough, because he was restricted from doing activities because of that. He was restricted from doing certain things, and as a result, he didn't feel like everyone else. And so he felt something was lacking. And that's, again, that's the message he kept receiving from young, and that's the message he then took on for himself. I'm not good enough because of this situation. And so that manifested into his own self-worth. That manifested in then also into his relationship with others. Because he didn't feel worthy, it impacted how he then related to others. The need for approval, the need for to please, the need to feel accepted. So he was always craving these things with others and tend to personalize things when it didn't happen, and often feeling rejection, often feeling isolated from others because he felt as if he wasn't worthy or good enough. And so, yeah, these things are really powerful, and having an understanding of how we see ourselves really helps to dictate, again, our relationships, again, with ourselves as well as our relationship with others. So that's something that with my clients that I talk a lot about. You know, I talk a lot about their upbringing. I talk a lot about what messages did you receive about who you are and what you are, and what messages do you continue to carry, right? Because oftentimes we carry those messages. So at some point, it's a matter of doing a self-assessment to kind of stop and say, what messages do I want to continue to carry? What messages have been great for me? What messages may not have been the best messages that I'm continuing to carry? Because that makes a difference. So, those are, again, ways that those things impact relationships.
So how do we foster a healthy and strong sense of self?
Well, a lot of it is about doing things. And when we have a sense of accomplishment, then we feel proud and then we feel worthy, right? And so oftentimes because there may be a low self-esteem, we often don't do things, right? We often have hesitation. We often feel as if we can't do something. And that message is what gets fed and what gets fed continuously. And so from young again, if there's a situation where the kid is achieving a lot of different activities, and is engaging in things, is trying new things, and finding themselves really good at it, that helps build and foster positive self-esteem. And so it's definitely about engaging in activities and recognizing your responsibilities, recognizing your positive qualities, appreciating your positive qualities. Again, with self-esteem, conceited. It's not about not recognizing your flaws, because we're human. So as human, naturally we're flawed, right? But it's about taking those flaws and turning those flaws and acknowledging the strengths, right? Acknowledging the things that we're good at, acknowledging ways to turn those flaws into an asset versus using those flaws as ways to keep ourselves down. Because oftentimes people with low self-esteem, they tend to do that. Their flaws is what keeps them from accomplishing the things that they want to do, because they're feeling not good enough, because they're feeling as if they're not worthy, right? And so the person with higher self-esteem or with healthy self-esteem, despite their flaws, they still know their worth. Their worth in their accomplishments, their worth in their responsibilities, their confidence in the things that they do. And so those are different ways that we can foster that. And it's to recognize the things that we are good at, to recognize our successes, our accomplishments. And it's interesting with a lot of people, they have a hard time doing that. They have lots of successes, but then they only focus on their mistakes. They only focus on their failures. And so what we focus on, we tend to get more of. We tend to see more of, right? But the good is there too, you know. And so it's really helping them shift their mindset. Well, tell me about the positive. Tell me about the successes that you've accomplished. And it takes them time to kind of put it together. And they say, oh yeah, I've accomplished a lot. Well, let's recognize that. Let's put that in the forefront. Let's put worth for that. That's also worthy. And when people start to focus on that, and when we start to make that be more of the attention, then our self-esteem also rises. But then if the attention is on the failures, then that keeps us low. Okay? So helping people just focus on the accomplishments that they've had. Yes.
So let me ask you this question. When people get older, say older adults, do you find their self-esteem increases or decreases?
Well, it all depends. So I work a lot with some older adults, in their 60s and 70s. And it all depends. So sometimes, again, when we become older adults, there's a different phase of life, right? Some of these people are retired, right? So the things that gave them worth potentially, their work, their parenting, their children are older. So the things that gives us worth and value, or our jobs, our children and things like that, they are no longer there to some extent. And so sometimes they go through phase where they're questioning their worth, because what do I do now? Right? What do I do now? And so, yeah, there's times where their self-esteem or their sense of self is broken. And then we have to kind of incorporate some new things, because this is a different stage of life. Right? And so obviously it's not about what you used to do. And seeing all these accomplishments of what you used to do, and how can we continue to accomplish new things in this new phase of life. And so, yeah, I've seen where the older adults are questioning themselves, are questioning their worth and their value now in this society, and especially when they're sick too. too, when people are feeling sick. And so at this point, not only are they older, but there's things that they used to do that they can no longer do. And so your self-esteem is shattered some because I can't do this anymore and feeling as if they're not worthy. And so, again, it's about focusing on, well, what can you do with this new thing? What can you do now, right? Because, again, if we focus on the things we can't, then yes, naturally, it feels like failure. But instead, how about we focus on what you can do? With your limitations, what are the things you can do? And let's build on that. So that's what I find myself doing a lot with people that are transitioning in different phases of life, right? Whether it's with elderly or whether it's even with sickness, because sickness does that too. When people, even when they're young and they're now, there's a new diagnosis, they're sick or they're physically disabled to do something. That shatters our self-esteem, our self-worth, because we see ourselves a certain way, right? And so when that way is not, we are in actually not the way that we see ourselves, sometimes that there's a disconnect, and that impacts our self-esteem.
Well, you touched on it briefly. Once you get into it a little deeper for me, how can our sense of self be broken?
Well, you know, we'll talk about it in regards to even as a young child, right? So there's a lot of adults that I'm seeing that their self-esteem has been broken very early on. Because, again, depending on their environment that they were raised in, whether there was emotional abuse, physical abuse, any type of abuse that may have occurred, that shatters our sense of self, right? Before we even, again, some of us, before we even know who we are, it's already broken based on what the environment is teaching us, is we're experiencing in our environment. And so adverse experiences, traumatic experiences, a lot of those things can break our sense of self. And then, again, as we start getting older, the different things that we experience with people, grief, loss, the breakups, loss of jobs, the things, whenever the way we view ourselves, whenever it's broken in any sense of, in any kind of way, that puts us in questioning of who we are. And so whenever we're questioning who we are, we're questioning our self-worth. We're questioning our self-esteem. And so when it's broken like that, then, again, it's figuring out how do we reassess. But our sense of self can be broken by a lot of the experiences that we go through, those negative experiences, those traumatic experiences, which is why in my practice I do this assessment called ACE, which stands for adverse childhood experiences. Oftentimes, a lot of people don't recognize that the things that they've been through was traumatic, impacted them, right? And so in the ACE study, this was a study done by Kaiser Permanente and the CDC that tested adults who've had these adverse childhood experiences, emotional abuse, sexual abuse, abandonment, different, there's 10 questions. And with every question, it's yes or no. And every yes puts you at a higher risk, we'll say, right? And it's amazing. With a lot of my clients, a lot of them have at least four out of the 10 yeses, 4, 5, 6, 7 yeses. And so these experiences, research shows, increases mental health issues, increases diabetes, increases physical health issues. And so mental health and physical health is connected. We can't, mind, body, soul, it's all connected. When one is out of whack, it makes everything else out of whack as well. And so, again, from young, when people are experiencing traumatic things that's impacting who they are, their sense of self, it's going to impact the physical as well, which then a lot of my clients do have physical issues too. And so we're working a lot on how to work through their physical by working through their mental. The brokenness and all those things can occur very, very early on, based on experiences, based on things that people go through.
All right. Well, if you're just tuning in, listeners, we're speaking with Atlanta licensed professional counselor, Ms. Natalie Ellis, about what you need to know about self-esteem. Ms. Ellis, what are the 5 things you want our listeners to know about self-esteem today?
So 5 things I want listeners to know about self-esteem today. Well, for one, self-esteem is how we view ourselves. So the first thing is people really paying attention to how they see themselves, not necessarily how others see them, right? So oftentimes people move and dictate and do things based on how other people are seeing them, right? And so part of that healing process that I work on with clients is first recognizing how do they see themselves, because that's going to make all the difference, and how do they want to be. So the first thing is just taking that moment to self-reflect on who they are. And another thing is just becoming aware of your words, your self-talk, whether it's negative or positive. What are the things that we're telling ourselves, right? And so once we take that moment to kind of pay attention to our self-talk, what is it? Is it positive? Is it negative? And if it's negative, again, the next thing is being aware of how that impacts our actions, how that impacts our emotions. So that's another thing, our actions, our emotions, and our body sensations, because, again, mental health and physical health. You know, if I'm not feeling good emotionally, more likely my stomach is going to feel a certain way, my head is going to feel a certain way. And again, when we ignore these things, it leads to long-term physical issues. And so recognizing that as well. Another thing I would say is just really taking a moment, if our self-talk is negative, if our emotions is negative, if our behaviors are negative, then really the next thing I would say is really seek counsel, you know, in however way that it needs to happen, whether it's through friends, family, church, you know, however way, and if needed, definitely professional counseling. I'm a strong advocate in people getting the help that they need. Mental health. Mental health is not for the people that are this other extreme in regards to, is not just for this extreme of the people that are schizophrenic or bipolar. It's for the everyday. Again, our mind is with us all the time, and we're dealing with the pressures of life, right? So when our self-esteem is not where it needs to be, and we're constantly having the pressure of having to go to work, having to take care of our families, having to maintain school for those kids, having to do all the things that's expected of us, right? And our self-esteem is not where it needs to be, it's going to take a toll. And so, again, encouraging people to get the help that they need and seek professional help. So that would be the next thing. And lastly, I would say definitely continue to do the work, right? So healing, the healing process, and achieving our best life is an ongoing process. It's not a destination we get to and then it stops, right? It's an ongoing thing, because as long as we're living, we're continuously experiencing life, the good, the bad, and the indifference of life. That's the beauty of life, right? And so we constantly have to be empowered. And so our mind, we have to consistently pay attention to what's going on in our minds, what's going on in our bodies, so that we stay empowered. And that takes work, and that takes work daily, whether it's physical exercise, making sure our body's strong, excuse me, whether it's with getting counseling, making sure our mind's strong, talking through the stressors of our lives, talking through the negative talks that we have about ourselves, working through those things, seeing where it's coming from and healing from those things. But definitely doing the work. And so that's the one thing I encourage my clients, and I tell my clients I'm there to support them to be their best selves and however, in whatever capacity that it needs to be. And so I've had clients that I've seen for a long time. Because just like we need our PCP, we need our OBGYNs, we need our dentists, we need all those people long term to be at our best health, overall health. Same thing with a counselor. And so it does make a difference when we're doing the work in helping us live our best.
Well, you know something, I do appreciate you being with our listening audience today. You have so much to say. Mm-hmm. And what if people want to come out and hear more? Do you have any upcoming events you'd like our listeners to know about?
Yeah, so one of the things that I do every Wednesday is called Ask the Therapist. It's called Ask the Therapist, and I do that on Instagram Live at noon, where I could pick a topic or a topic from somebody may say, you know, they want to know more about this topic, and a mental health topic, and I would just kind of talk about that, and people can ask questions. And so I do that Wednesdays at noon on Instagram Live. Starting this Saturday, I'm excited about that. One of my colleagues and I were doing this 8-week women's workshop called Boss Lady Sessions. And BOSS is being our sound, serene selves. And again, this is a women's group for women who's experienced emotional dysregulation and who just needs support of a counselor, but also support of other women to kind of work through their emotions, work through some of the things that they've gone through. And so this will be an 8-week women workshop that we're doing for the next 8 weeks starting this Saturday. So I'm excited about that. And hopefully if that goes well, that's something we'll continue to do. And then just ongoing, I'm definitely available for people in terms of therapy or if people have questions, because I do believe in, again, mental health and making sure that I'm accessible to the community. So I do a lot of things on my Instagram pages in terms of giving information in regards to mental health, because I will do want to make sure that we break the stigma and break the silence and break the shame related to mental health. Oftentimes people don't talk about self-esteem. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, that's what I like about you. You make yourself available to the community.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And that's a beautiful
that's
thing.
That's an important thing because it's already a very topic of shame, right? Self-esteem
mm-hmm.
is people aren't, these aren't things people talk about. People don't talk about their vulnerabilities. People don't talk about the things that they don't feel good about, right? And so oftentimes we mask it. We it comes out in different ways. But to be able to get to the root of certain things so we could, again, heal and be our best is really important. So I want to make sure people know there's services out there. There's treatment out
beautiful.
There. There's services out there. And definitely take advantage of it. Right. So I'm here to let people know to not be ashamed, to not be silenced, and to really get the services and help that they need so that they can be their best self.
Beautiful. Well, Ms. Ellis, before we bring this interview to a close, please tell our listening audience why you decided to advertise your business in People You Need to Know Business Guide.
Yeah, well, it's such a great guide. I've seen it many, many times, and I looked through it, and the information is so great, so I'm like, why not? Why not? And why not with such a great person like Sparks Plug? So I figured this is a great place if I want to advertise my business to do that. And not only you're an advocate and for the community and for women and business women, so which is a great thing. And it's just a great magazine to be a part of, and so I wanted to do that and advertise with you guys. So I'm proud of that. So thank you so much for the opportunity.
Beautiful, beautiful. And finally, how can our listeners connect with you?
Yes, so people can connect with me through my social media, esteemcounselingservices.com. That's my Facebook, Esteem Counseling Services is my Facebook. Esteem Counseling Services is also my Instagram. My website is www.esteemcounselingservices.com. So those are different ways people can reach me. I'm in the Decatur, Atlanta area. It's where people can reach me.
All right. Well, Ms. Nally Ellis, founder of Esteem Counseling and Consulting Services, LLC, thank you for spending some of your most precious and valuable time with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. You've been listening to Spark Plug Radio, the radio station that shines the spotlight on women business owners and professionals. To listen to even more People You Need to Know, just Google Spark Plug Radio and be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at PYNTK. If you'd like for me to speak at your conference, meeting, or event, please email your request to sparkplugpeople@gmail.com. I want to take a moment to thank the Spark Plug Radio team for doing another banner job behind the scenes. So until next time, this is Spark Plug, America's ambassador for women business owners, reminding you that you are the person who has to decide whether you'll do it or toss it aside. You are the person who makes up your mind whether you'll lead or linger behind, whether you try for a goal that is far or be content to stay where you are. Take it or leave it, there's something to do. Just think it over. It's all up to you. Thanks again for tuning in, and be sure to tell your friends about Spark Plug Radio.